My mate Greg Van Sambeek, a lot of you guys would know Greg. As a 16, 17-year-old, he took me to Ravenswood drag racing for the Nitro Funny Cars. It was my first experience there. And man, these things, it was an unforgettable experience. I'd snuck down to the fence to get a better look and scaled this fence, and I was standing there looking at this track to try and get a better vantage point of it. And when this thing hit the accelerator, the sheer noise and volume of force actually threw me backwards off this fence. It was like 100 metres away, and it was so powerful that this thing, just the sheer noise and energy, was enough to move me. Now, if you've ever seen a funny car, what they do is they start at the starting line, and to get traction on their tyres, they'll do a burnout. And this guy blessed us with a burnout the entire length of the track. Then they pop open their roof so all the smoking tyre that fills their cabin empties out, and they reverse back to the starting line. And they wait for that green light to hit, and when they do, it is like an explosion goes off. These things can cover a quarter-mile track doing about 550 k's an hour. That's ridiculous, isn't it? About 3.8 seconds it takes them to cover that time. Now, I was looking, doing a bit of research about funny cars, and you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong, but the type of drag racing vehicle is specific to organised drag racing. They have a tilt-up fiberglass cover. You'll see that there. It's actually not part of the car. It's this fiberglass thing that's so light that it just sits on a chassis and an engine that is just built for maximum speed. Funny car bodies are actually kind of designed around cars that are around at the time they're built. So let's say in the 1970s, you might have Camaros or Chargers and things like that. Now, the other ones that they're modelled after are Mustangs. And so I look at that and I go, yeah, that's kind of an amped up, jacked up, juiced up version of a Camry if ever I've seen one. It's a shell that loosely resembles its original purpose as a pedestrian mover, a vehicle, and it's designed to turn this car into a supercharged motor with a person just strapped to the top of it as they hurtle down a track. When you and when I accepted Jesus Christ into our life, when the Holy Spirit entered our hearts for that very first time, no longer were we just that original shell of ourselves. We have become a supercharged vehicle for God to live inside of. We were fundamentally changed. Like the cars that used to have an exterior that resembles what it was originally designed to be, we might look like our former selves, but inside of us, we now have an extraordinary powerful. We've been made extraordinarily powerful through the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts today. But before we do that, won't you join me in praying to God? Father God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be palpable here this morning, Lord. That it would be moving hearts to open. That it would be filling my speech, God, as I communicate your glorious word here this morning. Father God, let every word that I say be of you and be blessed. And let every ear hear what you want to communicate here this morning. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Yeah, open your Bibles with me to 1 Peter 4, verse 10 this morning. I'll start with an overview and then we'll kind of direct our way down into the nitty-gritty as we go on. It'll come up on the screen right now if you don't have a Bible. So Peter says to the church, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Let me read that again. Each of you, that's us, should use whatever gift you have received, whatever gift you have received, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Did we get all that? This passage is going to show us three things. Note the words here, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received. We've all been given at least one gift. Peter's saying to the church, every one of you has been given a gift. So if you've received Christ into your heart, you have been given a precious gift by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we all get something unique. God doesn't make us just carbon copies, like photocopies of the next person, of the next person, of the next person. That passage says God's grace in its various forms. We all get something different. Paul goes on to use an awesome illustration in 1 Corinthians 12 when he explains spiritual gifts. He actually uses an analogy of a physical body. He talks about eyes and ears. He talks about hands and feet. And he says that every one of those things is necessary for your body to function. In exactly the same way, spiritual gifts work in a church in that ideal way. That Ali, you're an eye. Chris, you're a foot. Tash, you're a hand. Everyone has various gifts to serve as a whole for the body to perform the function to its best. It's a great illustration that Paul uses. We receive this gift, number three, we receive this gift to serve others. Okay? Number one, we all get a gift. Number two, it's different to the person to your left or to your right so that it builds the body together. Number three, we receive these gifts to serve others. If we could just go back one, sorry, Matthew. I know I said 1 Corinthians 12. To serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Simply put, you've received your own Holy Spirit-fueled giftings inside of you to give away. You get the gift to give the gift. We need everyone to recognize within a church setting how God's gifted us. If we are all doing that, the church functions to its maximum potential. We recognize our gift. We give it away. We use it to serve others. So Peter frames all of what we're going to talk about this morning in this one passage about spiritual gifts. You get them. It's different to the person next to you, and it's used to serve other people. Okay. The Greek word that Peter uses in this text is the word charisma. You might have heard the word charisma used in everyday language. And funnily enough, people with charisma are often referred to as, he thinks he's God's gift. Don't you reckon? Yeah. The word charisma in the Greek means grace or gifts denoting extraordinary. Oh, sorry, Sienna, you've just bumped my mouse just there. Could you turn that off? That was awkward. Okay. All right, here we go. Grace or gifts denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the Church of Christ, the reception of which, how you receive them, is due to the power of divine grace operating on their souls by the Holy Spirit. Let me read that again. Grace or gifts denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the church of Christ, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating on their souls by the Holy Spirit. So it's clear that Peter's not talking about, Don, my gift of reversing trailers. Sorry, Lee, I was talking to Lee earlier, wasn't I? My spiritual gift of reversing trailers is not what Peter's talking about right now. Also, if you're ever going camping and you need to get everything into the back of your car in a specific way, I call it Tetrising your stuff. I have a supernatural gift. Again, it's not what Peter is talking about right here. It's extraordinary. It's something about you or me that God takes and he supercharges it for the glory of God. It's used for building up your brothers and sisters in Christ so that they would be the maximum version of themselves. It's this gift that God's given us. Like taking that Camry, God applies that extraordinary power to our little car and turns it into an absolute beast for the kingdom of God. Let me use just a couple of illustrations from my life. Okay? First of all, as a 28, 29-year-old, at my church I took over the youth group ministry. And we had fun. I was really good at creating the fun. And then I'd grab the microphone to open up the Bible and to say something meaningful. And I'd called it 2 minutes of Troy because all I could ever gain from Scripture was like reading it at face value. And I was like, I was doing this for months and months and months and I could see no growth in our youth group, no growth as they connected towards Jesus. And I was thinking, this is on me. And I got down on my hands and knees and I said, Jesus, you've put me in this position. You've called me to it. And I suck at it. I was like, God, if you want me to grow these people, your Holy Spirit is going to have to empower me to do it to some level that I can't achieve on my own right now. And it is amazing. As I open up the Word that next week, things were dancing off the page at me. Illustrations were coming into the back of my mind that I could pair with that scripture to try and bring the fullness of what Jesus was talking to about just then. I was resting on the Holy Spirit and he allowed a gifting to come inside of me that the Holy Spirit supercharged for the benefit of our people, our youth group, and for the glory of God. I remember another time I was walking along, walking the dog just through the suburbs of Marangaroo. And I was praying while I was walking. I was going, God, just thinking about church. What's going to happen this week at church, God? And he gave me this picture in my mind right in that moment. It was a picture of someone who had been designing a song, been writing a song. And this person had this song on their heart, but not the confidence to bring it forward. And I was like, at the end of it, I went up and told Tash, I was like, I feel like God was telling me that someone has written a song and on Sunday morning, God wants them to come up out of the congregation, grab whatever instrument that they want to use and start singing. And she's like, I doubt that is likely to happen. I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but I mean, in my head, that's what I'm thinking as well. Like, this seems ridiculous. So I called my pastor, Eric, this is what I think is going to happen on Sunday morning. He said, well, we're going to create space to let it happen. And I was like, wow, I'm going out on a limb here. I'm going to hop up and say, God's given me this word. Who out there has written a song and is going to come up and sing it this morning? No one? Great. I'll scurry back down to my... Eric went to dinner that night with the guy that was on to do communion. And he said, oh, how's your communion message going? I'm not so much, I was planning on not so much doing a message. I've written a song, but I don't know if I should do it. Isn't that amazing? Like a guy walking a dog can be given a thought or a concept from God that blessed the congregation. When he got up and he played and he sung, people were weeping in the congregation. It was beautiful. And he might have held that back had I held back the gift that God had put inside of me that day. My father-in-law, only 2 months ago, was at a church meeting. Deaf, incredibly deaf. He needs hearing aids just to hear partially. If he rolled up to a family event, there was more than two or three people hearing, he would sit in a corner just kind of not really being able to contribute because his hearing was that bad. He went to a church service a couple of months ago, and someone who was traveling through has a gift of the Holy Spirit on their life of healing. And Clive went forward for healing for his profound hearing problems. And he's actually taken his hearing aids off now. They sent us this email saying, glorify God, his healing is restored. And I was like, I want to see that myself. He has put them away. He doesn't need them now. He can hear you and me in a room of crowded people. It is amazing. This man is walking, a walking gift of God to other people, and he's using that giftedness for the glory of God. When we're all functioning in our giftings, like Peter says, as we get them and give them away, the congregation are blessed, and we all move closer towards God. We show the power of the Holy Spirit. It's awesome. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, if you will. Might have to move really quickly through these next couple of sections. Have you got that up there, Matthew? No, I didn't. Okay. Ephesians 4 says, so there's three main scriptures that talk about spiritual gifts in the Bible. I'm going to quickly go through them. The first one is Ephesians 4, verse 11. It said, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. It's exactly like what we were talking about before. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to equip his people for the works of service. These are often referred to as the ascension gifts, because it says as Jesus ascended, he gave these gifts. And the interesting thing about these gifts is they're not gifts for you to use, they're gifts of people to the church. So he gives people who are prophets to the church as a gift. He gives people who are apostles to the church as a gift. The church needs apostles to establish and strengthen churches. The church needs prophets to reveal God's will for believers for the present and the future. The church needs evangelists to spread the word and to plant churches. Billy Graham is probably one of the most obvious evangelists the world has been gifted with, as he goes out and preaches, or went out and preached to hundreds and thousands and millions of people with his evangelistic gift, as a gift from Christ to the church. The church needs pastors to provide oversight, comfort, and guidance as the church's shepherds. The church needs teachers to instruct and help apply God's revelation to the life of the church. Think modern day theologians, Wayne Grudem, John Piper, Tim Keller, and maybe some gifted teachers that you can podcast now and be blessed by their ministries. I can think of examples of this just within our church. And sorry for pointing you out, but George Funk, a fully weaponized George Funk, is over in Africa building massive caravans that go in, building trucks that go into African communities and witness the words of God and leaving churches in their wake as they go on to the next one and the next one and the next one. I think of Pete as his primary gifting is as a pastor, shepherding his flock, sitting with people and listening to their difficulties and concerns, guiding them towards Jesus, towards Jesus, towards Jesus, as he works as God's gift to us in his pastoral equipping. I think of Jennifer as she gets up here on stage and she expounds the Word of God, like really reaching into the depths of it to get the fullness of what God's saying in his Word into our hearts and into our lives. These are God's gift to the church from Jesus. The next scripture that I'll get you to turn to, which should pop up on the screen, is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Well, we'll find the second of the three groupings that we talk about this morning. So the first, the ascension gifts. Jesus gives gifts to the church of people. Unlike these gifts, unlike the gifts we've just gone through, the second lot of gifts, called the manifestation gifts, are God's the gift of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of a believer. And this gift is not for us to keep, but for us to give away. Read with me right now. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. They're described as the manifestation gifts because Paul uses the Greek word phanerosis, meaning an exhibition, expression, or manifestation. In other words, Paul defined these as the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit at work in a believer. A couple of things to note with these gifts. We've already said when they're in their full function, these gifts are being used, the Holy Spirit manifesting within us, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do supernatural things. The person who receives the gift is the person being ministered to. So like Clive, who had my father-in-law, who had his hearing restored, the gift was received by Clive but ran through another person to give to Clive. Secondly, none of us can dictate when the gift is to be used. The Holy Spirit is the one in charge of manifestation gifts. So we can pray and in instances nothing happened that day. We can pray in other instances and the Holy Spirit wants to move, he will move. It's up to the Holy Spirit as the one in charge. And it's up to us to be an available and an expectant vessel for him to work through. I think about reading the Heavenly Man by Brother Yun. Has anyone read that book? It's quite an amazing book. And he does some supernatural things in that book that I'm like, wow. Apparently he's in a prison and God says to a wall that big, just jump over that wall, okay? And he ends up on the other side of it. Something supernatural is happening in that moment because God is actually working through him. And who's the blessing of that? The people that Brother Yun then, as he escapes prison, can go and minister to. He talks about walking for days, like having a 3-day walk that he had to embark on. And as he blinked, he was walking into the town and no time had passed. And I think, man, some of the stories in this book that Brother Yun speaks of are gifts of miracles working, because he needed to be at a certain place at a certain time, and so God just makes it happen through his Holy Spirit. All these works require an expectant heart, a believer waiting on God to move, and stepping out boldly in confidence that God will. That's on our part to do that boldness, that expectedness. He gives these gifts out, the Holy Spirit, as he determines. Another interesting thing to point. Which brings us to our last lot of gifts. And this is what's built into our DNA as people. Who you are. What makes you unique? What makes you special? And unlike that Camry, it's not just you working in your own giftings. It is a supercharged version of yourself. John Piper says on spiritual gifts, gifts are not for a few, but for all. And every believer has abilities which the Holy Spirit has given and can use to strengthen others. And it is the supreme joy of life to discover what they are and then pour yourself out to others through these gifts. Romans 12, verse 4 is where we find the last lot of gifts we'll talk about this morning. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know, I'm not going to get down into the nitty-gritty of saying, like, you know, let's look for what the gift you are and like and find this morning what each one of us is and try and work in that. What I do is I take this as a snapshot. And when I close my eyes and picture each one of you recognizing how God's gifted you and stepping into that giftedness through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, I see a perfect church. People laying down their lives for the person next to them. People walking in their giftedness so that the person next to them will be built up. I see it in everyday practicalities already today. Every time I hop down from preaching or from singing, I'm met at the front here by Ali Bradbury, who has the gifts of exhortation, the gift of encouragement, as she says, well done, that was awesome, thank you so much. And she builds your confidence, she builds you up for the next time going, yeah, I can do this, I can do better, I can do more. I see people that have a heart for others like I don't have a heart for others. As that mercy grace just is inside of them. And they sit with people and weep with people and just deeply desire to care for people. I think of Mother Teresa with that gift as she gives that away. That's in her DNA, those mercies. Just helping the poor, helping the needy. All of these, I see people sowing generously into the kingdom as others need. It reminds me of that church in Acts that they just looked around and was like, hey, from this pool, let's give, let's give, let's give to grow the kingdom of God. As these are equipped and engaged with each one of us, But Tash has an awesome ability to plan and prepare. She's studious in her administrative gifts. And when that leadership gift is in full flight, the church benefits from them, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do basically just the way that she's built. Church will never be perfect this side of eternity. We're not perfect people. But when everyone is walking in their gifting, supercharged by the Holy Spirit, we reflect to the world a church living selflessly and walking in the power of God, and that is an awesome thing to behold. When a church is no longer known for gossiping and pulling other people down and just wanting your money, but they're flowing in their giftings, we see a church that is merciful and gracious and giving and equipping and teaching and powerful. That's an awesome illustration of people who don't know Jesus. This works two ways. By the pouring out of your gifting, but also, and this is a huge struggle for Western culture, to receive that gifting from other people. That gift of encouragement, stop it. No, don't be silly. Don't tell me that. No, I'm going to get a big head. The person that is an encourager is there to encourage, to build you up. Let yourself be built up. Hey, let me pay for dinner tonight. I really want to bless your families. Now let's wrestle over the checkbook and let's have a fight at the cash register. Let that person bless you. When someone wants to sit with you and care for you, let that person do that. I remember with my back injury, just lying on my couch, not being able to move, but still going, we're all good. No, you don't have to bring a meal. You don't have to sit with me and pray. I think I've got this. We've got to let people minister and serve us as their giftings required so the body is in full function. Why do we do all this, guys? Because in Romans 12, just there, it says, according to the grace given us. Grace can be defined as unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor of God. He gives us this gift because he loves us. He's constantly leaning towards us. He's looking favorably upon us. He wants to bless his children. He shares all the benefits with us. He holds nothing back. And this is evidenced in the way that he gave Jesus Christ as a gift to us. We don't deserve God's grace, but he gave us Jesus. Our sin keeps us cut off from the goodness of a loving Father. But God sent Jesus, as we remembered through communion, to nail our sins and transgressions to the cross. He sends Jesus to cover over all of our wickedness, all of our evil that we do. He sent Jesus, and we remembered just only over a week ago, that beautiful gift of a precious baby that God gave to us in the manger. Of Jesus Christ, God sent him. The Bible says he emptied himself to come to earth. He didn't hold anything back. He gave it all to us. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. And grace upon grace is that not only does he give you Jesus, he gives you the Holy Spirit to empower you with the gifts that he also gives you to see a world transformed. To see a world know this same grace that we know and to give it away. We use our gifts because, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift from God. Let's start 2019, empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk boldly in your gifts. Encourage, give, serve, prophesy, teach, be merciful. Do this for other people to the glory of God. Won't you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you that you did not hold anything back, but that you gave us Jesus. And grace upon grace, you gift us to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit to give away our giftings again, Lord. Father God, I pray as a church, you would help us to be bold in 2019 and beyond. That we could be walking in our gifting, and God, we would see a church fully empowered and equipped by the Spirit of God to be supercharged vessels of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for these in your precious name. Amen.